views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to the hit show Beyond Grief Radio, redefining loss and grief with Angie Corbett-Kuyper on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are you struggling with loss? Are you willing to challenge everything you've been taught about life and death? Beyond Grief Radio is a space that explores beyond current self-limiting beliefs surrounding loss, offering radical healing which will come from the least likely of places. Join Angie on her journey, which includes science, medicine, and spirituality, proving that the body is merely a shell of our soul. It is possible to create an amazing life from the depths of pain. It is your life. It is your choice. Now, here's your host.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this program, When Grief Becomes an Addiction. And I want to thank Rob at the Transformation Talk Radio for being such a wonderful producer. And thank you all for trusting me enough to share in today's message, When Grief Becomes an Addiction. And you guys have heard the song, Turn, Turn, Turn. It was written by Pete Seeger and sung by the Byrds in the late 50s. He actually took that song from the King James Version of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. And I'm going to read it to you guys because it's so fitting. And I kind of wanted to break into song, my right brain creative part, to everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep. To everything, turn, 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 there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. To everything, turn, 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 there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace, a time you may embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to rend, a time to sow. A time for love, a time to hate, a time for peace. I swear it's not too late. And it was interesting as I was listening to this, you guys, and reading it and kind of just sitting with it. It's to rend. And I thought that to rend, I thought it meant to reap, a time to sow. But no, to rend is to tear something into two or more pieces. The synonyms to tear, to rip apart, to rip into two, split, rupture, sever. The literary word is to cause great emotional pain to and to a person or their heart. And so you guys, today, when grief becomes an addiction. And for those that don't know my story, I'm going to share, those that you have done, just close your ears and pretend like you're not hearing this, but it is important because I'm not just coming out of left field. My son, Nicholas Max Corbett, at 20 years old, took his life, a gunshot wound not only to the under part of his chin, but then to his right temple. A hiker by the name of Peter Kaplan found him and actually came to the celebration of life that I created for him and said, I want you to know that your son didn't die alone, that I was there with him until the police came and until the investigators came. Then almost 1 year later, April 25th, 3 weeks to the day of my son, 9 days after my wedding, with family and friends, and 3 days after our legal civil ceremony, Jan, my partner, my best friend, lover, took his life by hanging himself. So you guys, I'm not coming from a place of just pie in the sky. I know what it feels to feel the depths of pain and the depths of grief. And with that, I too had the propensity potentially to also become addicted to grief. And well, let's define addiction, okay? And you guys, most of us think of addiction as being drug related. The word addiction is derived from a Latin term. This is from Harvard Medical School. Enslaved by or bound to. So let's think about enslaved by or bound to. That is usually a drug where somebody, that's all they think about. And working for Purdue Pharma for 8 years, I fought that fight for legitimate pain patients. It was a novel concept, you guys. Addiction, you have to have such a severe low, but then you also have to have a severe high. And so you've got the peak and trough, if you will, of a squiggly line or of a wave. And what that does is when you're experiencing or somebody with addiction, in order to get that high, they have to experience the lowest of lows. And so let's look at what Harvard deems as addiction. First of all, there are three distinct ways in which the brain manifests the exertion of addiction. One, the craving for the object of addiction. Wouldn't you guys agree that we would crave and we long for our loved one to be with us? Okay. Two, the loss of control over its use. Once again, you guys, in death, it is the only time that our egos take a break because it proves that we do not have any control of anyone or anything. And last but not least, it's the continued use and involvement despite the adverse consequences. So let me share with you all when it becomes addicted to pain, and that is, we are hurting those that still are around. We hurt those that need us. We hurt ourselves by continuing to just stay wrapped in this grief if we allow. And so working in the field of pain management and looking at the differences between addiction, dependence, and tolerance, who would have ever thought, you guys, that that training and those 8 years would bring me to this realization that it's not so different of an addiction between a pharmacologic drug and the need for a drug and the pain of a loved one. And right now I want to shout out to all my friends and peers who still continue to fight the fight for the true pain patient whose lives OxyContin has changed. And so let's look at a drug when we grieve, when we have become so attached to the outcome of others and their choices, their lives, especially in death, we can be enslaved and bound to that person. And here is where, you guys, I want to bring up the helicopter mom or the helicopter dad or the helicopter parents. They've made their children their lives. They have no identity outside that of the micromanagement of the children they are protecting. And the children that they're protecting, it's not even protecting, you guys. They're protecting them from their own life experiences. So when these children leave the home, when these children leave the nest, they create their own identities, they're finding out who they are, they're growing, or if they die. Parents I've seen so many times have just died themselves. Have you heard the saying, get a life? Have your kids said that? Luckily, my kids didn't, because I kind of allow them to have a life. And I'm there to catch them as they fall, if they do, when they do, and teach life lessons. But to get a life means find your own identity, because when they choose to do something different that doesn't fit and align with your own pattern, we aren't so devastated. And you guys, at this point, I want to let you know, we've got about 2 minutes before our first break. And I challenge you guys, if you want, if you have questions or concerns, please give me a call. You can call in. And Rob, if you can remember, if you can write down what the phone number is, I can share that with my audience. You guys, I know this is tough. Maybe if we start treating grief, once the time has been realized, and that's a very personal time frame, is in our own time frame. Nobody can tell us to get over it, but we will know, you guys, when it's time. And so maybe if we start treating this like as an addiction, maybe some of us, I say it a lot, to feel pain and to grieve is a humanness, is human. But to suffer is a choice. And so if you guys look at addiction as well, the genetic vulnerability that risks the developing of an addiction. In fact, in this Harvard study that I was reading, there were twin and adoption studies show that 40 to 60% of susceptibility to addiction is hereditary. I have 30 seconds left. We'll get the phone number for you when we get back. I don't have it readily available. Sorry, guys. But feel free to call in. I'd love it. And then when we come back, we'll go into how behavioral plays a role and genetics plays a role in our ability to overcome and move through grief. Thank you guys for joining me today, and we'll be right back.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Introducing New Soul Science, an introductory course with Ruby Betty, offering profound wisdom alongside radically simple concepts and techniques that collapse time, allowing instantaneous personal transformation. The foundational techniques of this introductory course reveal the profound inner ability each human has to access and fulfill their individual soul script or soul promise. Awakening this ability leads to the mastery of one's destiny. The concepts are totally original, immensely powerful, and completely revolutionary. They ignite an infinite fire within each listener, fueling one's ability to live out their unique soul promise. Are you ready to become more aware and access amazing personal transformation? This course is available now at rubybetty.co.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern. And for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you, discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion. Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners. Before we left for break, I was just getting into the genetic vulnerability and the risk of developing an addiction, because I will guarantee nobody intends to develop an addiction. And as it pertains to grief, you guys, there is a normal, grieving is part of our normal life. And so to sit here and say to you guys that, you know, oh, you're addicted to grief, no. I'm giving the examples from clients that I've worked with, people in my audiences who have come to me seeking guidance and help, whose sons or daughters have either taken their lives or have been in fatal car accidents. And when I ask how long, and I'll ask, what are you looking for me for? And they said, I clear a room, Angie. People don't want to be around me anymore. My family said I should call you. My friends don't want to, they don't call me anymore. And I asked, how long has this been going on? And this one particular woman said 14 years. And so this is why I wanted to talk to you guys about the addictive properties. And it would be so interesting if someone would conduct a study. If we know that in twin and adoption studies, that there's about a 40 to 60% of a susceptibility to addiction to heredity, meaning that simply if you are born into a family, you are predisposed genetically to an addictive personality, whether it be drugs, whether it be gambling, sex, anything, workaholism. I would be very curious to see those that have experienced significant loss, to see what percentage of those people who are unable to get unstuck, to move forward, versus those people who were born into a family or don't have that genetic predisposition to addiction. However, with that being said, behavior plays a key role, especially when it comes to reinforcing a habit. So even though we are predisposed, you guys, it does not mean that we have to sit and just take it or live through it. We can find ways. And later in the program, we will go over the neurogenesis and the neuroplasticity of our brain's innate ability to heal itself. But let's stick with this for a little bit. First of all, getting back to your own life, I believe if we all learn to love deeply, but do not consume ourselves or control ourselves with the outcome of others, we each have been put on this earth, you guys, for our purpose, for our mission, for our pleasure, for our pain, for whatever you want to call it. It is our own unique path. So our kids are born to us. They should never be born for us. And I think what happens is that we choose that it's time that we need to save everyone. We become codependents, if you will, of everyone's life. Either we're saving them from experiences that we've had, we're saving them from a soul because we've been saved. And I will guarantee you, that we've actually become a society that is addicted to the control of others. And if you look around at other countries, we do not do death very well. And I think part of that is if you look just at one philosophy, and that's the Buddhist philosophy, and I've said this several times on my show, the second noble truth, the root of all suffering is attachment. So if we can just let go, then we will avoid running the risk of curling up in the fetal position and dying next to our loved ones in the grave. And so if you look at addiction, and I started kind of going down this path a little bit earlier, and that is you must have a baseline of a low. So can we look at a drug being on board, you have a high, and then when that drug starts wearing off, you're at a severe low. Let's switch things up a little bit and use this as grief. We have the high when we're remembering the wonderful times we had with our loved ones. We are remembering places and things, and we drive by and, but then we become so depressed in the pain of grief because we've lost them. So I should have titled you guys this maybe instead of when grief becomes an addiction. Maybe who needs drugs when you are experiencing significant loss? But most want to sit and shove the pain under the carpet. We want to self-medicate, and we want to avoid anything from just sitting still. And you guys, another component as well, we feel that the only thing that keeps our loved ones alive is the ache and the pain that we feel. And from talking to so many of you, death is difficult because if we let go of that pain and we let go of that ache and we let go of the heartache, we are somehow dishonoring our loved ones. And it's as if we have, quote unquote, forgotten them. And so I was so fortunate to have spent time last weekend with John Gray in Santa Fe, where he was presenting at the Ageless Living Symposium. And he is the, for those of you who have not heard of him, he is the New York Times bestselling author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And he's just written a new book called Beyond Mars and Venus. You guys, he was standing on that stage 8 days after his wife, Bonnie, of 33 years, died. He showed up. And we were so close, I could see the tear sparkle that welled up in the corner of his eye as it promised to fall. 8 days, you guys. And he expressed that this part of his life, although it was painful, it has also been the most calm. And you guys, and in the future, I reached out to him, and in the future, I'm hoping, and I think I've got to get back with them in November, so stay tuned. But I want to discuss our new relationships with the love of our lives while we are here on this earth and they are on the other side of the veil. It's a new relationship, and he had mentioned it a few times last weekend. She pushed me. She told me I had to do this. And so here he was presenting to a group of people. And so in that way, I question is what happens when we've got, sorry about that, you guys, it's my phone. I thought I had it on Do Not Disturb. But what happens when what happens to those who aren't able to even pick themselves out of bed and move in a direction, and those that are able to get up on a stage in front of hundreds of people, thousand. Those who curl up in the fetal position for 14 years, and those who are able to create magnificence out of ashes and dust. And that is the question. And so, once again, I reiterate, grief is a very normal human experience. To suffer is a choice. And so I'm not going to get into the, you know, the cerebral cortex, the nucleus accumbens and amygdala and the hippocampus and all the brain's reward centers. But what I will say is that there is a correlation between those, I believe, that grieve and those that are that can move forward and see a positive light. And we all have the ability to change our existence and the way we operate now. And my idea is to give you all hope and offer you guys empowerment that it truly is our choice whether we want to remain in pain state or if we want to move forward in a different direction. And you guys, in the last section, we were talking about if you guys have any questions or concerns on any of the shows that I've done, if you want to call, the phone number is 1-800-930-2819. And the lines are open and Rob is ready to, thank you, Rob, with your thumbs up, is ready to take your calls if you guys are so inclined. Let's look at some of the symptoms of addiction. And I've got a couple more minutes before the end of this break. But isn't it interesting, you guys, how drug addiction is very similar to the way behaviors are when it is regarding death? And I'll go over them real quick. We have about a minute. Feeling that you have to use the drug regularly. Okay, feeling that you have to think about your loved one 24/7. Block out any other thoughts. Having intense urges to block out any other thoughts. How many of us can sit for hours on end just thinking of our loved ones? Making certain that they maintain the supply. Not meeting obligations at work. I called it for the first couple of months the suicide card. That I could play the suicide card, doing things that you normally wouldn't do, risky behaviors, spending a good deal of time getting more and more. If we quit feeling pain, we're not honoring our loved ones. And you guys, 15 seconds, we will be right back and going over some of the similarities between drug addiction and the addiction of pain and grief. Thank you guys for joining me. I respect, honor you, and so happy you're here. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Ignite your inner magic on Grow Your Soul Radio with Jane Matanga. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Jane Matanga explores how to overcome your fears to help you gain the inspiration you need to awaken your path to joy. Learn the way to life mastery and the enlightened path with Grow Your Soul Radio. For more information on Jane Matanga and her work, visit enlightened-path.com.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners, on this episode of Beyond Grief, Redefining Death and Loss. We've gone through a pretty extensive definition of addiction. I started giving you guys some of the signs and symptoms of addiction. And, you know, here I want to stop and put a human element on this as well. And you guys, that is, grief is very personal and grief is very, very intimate. And when I hear it makes me cringe, get over it. Hasn't it been long enough? Don't listen to them. This is our time. And you guys, what I have learned sitting in my own grief, the pain does not kill us. In fact, I've learned more about who I am from these two significant, significant losses. And I think our answers are everywhere. And yet, like our minds, you guys, in death, there are no answers. And so it is so important to keep an open mind, a willingness to keep an open mind about everything. And some, let's go back to some of the symptoms or recognizing, now this is interesting too, just recognizing some of the unhealthy drug use in family members, okay? This can also be aligned with pain of grief and loss. Problems at school or work. Are you missing school? Do you have a sudden disinterest in everything but the memory of your loved one? What about physical health issues? The lack of energy and the motivation, is there weight loss or is there weight gain? Do you have red eyes? You don't want to get up. You're not showering. You're not living. Are you neglecting your appearance? You don't care what you wear. You don't care what you look like. And changes in our behavior. You guys, if you look at these, they're very, very similar. And so how do we start to kind of, what word am I looking for? Just kind of how do we crawl out of the depths of grief to a place of living again? And this will go into the neuroplasticity, and that's kind of a big word, you guys. I know, neuroplasticity. And let me find my right page here. Yes, okay. So when you guys have seen, or if you have had a broken arm, or if you've had a broken leg, or if you've seen someone who maybe have broken their hip or their shoulder, have you ever noticed that sometimes years and years after the traumatic event has occurred to their physical body, that they still favor that part of their body? So if you can picture somebody in a cast, okay, on their arm, it takes them a considerable amount of time, when that cast is removed after it's been on them for a considerable amount of time, to move it. And you can look at the arm and you can say move, and your mind is saying move it, but you can't, because it has stuck there. It's stuck, just like in our brains, how we stay stuck. If we are going to keep poor me, victim, I lost, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do without them? Where are they now? If we continue that process, you guys, it's like a cast on our arm. And our brains adapt to that hand, wrist, arm in the cast. And so neuroplasticity is basically the physical basis of why making a thought or action over and over again, the neuroplasticity is the muscle building part of the brain. The things that we do often, we become stronger at. So that's why we have physical therapy, you guys. We can move our arm back and forth. It may take days and weeks, and it may take only a couple inches every week. But it's reprogramming our mind to start talking to that arm to get moving again. And so, and I'm sorry, I had a really good definition, you guys, of, and I wanted to use this because it was better than what I could come up with here. And basically that's what it is. If we use that part of our bodies, if we use that part of our brain, it increases its power. Have you guys seen those, I've got a neighbor actually who walks, and he had surgery about 15 years ago on his knee, and he's still walking as if he's on his crutches. The same thing can happen to our brain. And so we can either create these connections with our brain that are constantly becoming stronger or weaker, and it depends on what is being used. And in grief, if we cycle back into poor me and victim and what am I going to do without them and my life is over, that's how you're going to live. Or you can start changing the way you think, and over time it just becomes an automatic. So you guys, I do believe in the philosophy of fake it till you make it. We do need to start with baby steps and retraining our brain. And so I don't know what the answer is for those that are just stuck in grief, because that's okay too, you guys. We need to be gentle with ourselves. And if some want to stay and remain in that grief pattern, and it gives them comfort and it gives them joy, then honor them, honor their choice, and honor their decision. Where I'm coming from is I learned a different way. I could have very easily cycled. In fact, I did. The first suicide, it wasn't that wasn't enough. I was finally coming up for air. I was finally beginning to hike. I was finally beginning to live again. And boom, suicide number two. I had the ability to sink to a depth. And you know what? Society would have allowed me to remain there. Society gives any of those who have gone through significant loss a kind of a pink slip, kind of a, you know, get out of class, you know, a hall pass. But we know, I knew that's not the life that I wanted. And from my own experience, I dug my way out of grief. And yes, there are days that I cry and there are days that I remember, but you know what? I have more days of joy than I do of grief. And I don't know if I can ever call it, you guys, grief anymore. It is an emotion I'm going through, and I can't even say that it's a painful emotion. It's a remembering, and it's what John Gray said. It is a significant loss, but it's also, there's this joy, this gratitude. And when the two of those combine, oh, you guys, it is a whole new way of living. And so I have said this in several, I've put this in messages, I have put this on my website. If we are all willing to keep an open mind about everything, our miracles come. And so some of the things I wanted to get into is that there is a difference. If you look at the neuroplasticity, so we've decided that the brain is a muscle. If we use it, it grows. If we lose it, it atrophies and dies. And so neuroplasticity is basically shaped by our experiences. It's our brain's ability to adapt. So as we continue to change and as we continue to grow and we continue to have these life experiences, and people will say, well, do you feel like you've ever made mistakes? And I'm like, they shouldn't be called mistakes. They're must-takes, because that's how we get our brain to adapt to new and different ideas and ways to live differently. And so as our experiences change, you guys, our ability to change, our mind to change as well. And so the same tools that I had 25, 30, 40 years ago are not the same tools that I have today. That is life experience, but I'm not going to stay stuck in a belief from when I was born to maybe 20 years ago, because that belief doesn't allow me and my mind to grow. It atrophies and stays the same, stuck in old archaic beliefs, unable to move forward, and then beginning the cycle of addiction and grief and pain. And you guys, I've got about 30 seconds left. And once again, the phone number, if you do have any questions, or you guys can always email me too at Angie@AngieCorbettKuiper.com. You can send me your messages and I will get back to you as well. The phone number is 1-800-930-2819. 1-800-930-2819. Thanks, you guys. We'll be right back for our last segment.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan, the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next.
Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit DarcyPariso.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you ready to attract abundance, release stress, look and feel younger, all from your smartphone? Get Pure Light, a free mobile app with audios that transmit powerful frequencies to shift anything in your life. Created by some of the world's top energy healers, these audios have created miracles, often quickly. Enjoy the latest in conscious technology and download Pure Light today. To find out more, visit PureLightAudio.com.
Welcome back to the final segment, my beautiful listeners, on when grief becomes an addiction. And I hope that this episode has maybe offered a pearl or two that what you may be feeling, you have control of it if you want, but there is something to addiction to drugs and addiction to grief and pain. And where do you want to be in that? And in the last segment before we went out, I did say that wherever we are, you guys, we're perfect exactly where we are. And I'm going to reiterate, because Rob said he loved it, is I found this new word, must take. When we hear mistakes and we hear sin and we hear all of these things, I don't know of anyone, and I'll speak for myself. I never learned anything in the joy of happiness. I learned my lessons in the mud, in the sticks, in the weeds, in the trauma, in the pain, in the grief. Everything I've done to this point were things I had to do to get to this point. But so many of us are afraid to take mistakes. Let's call them must takes. I had to do that. Did I learn something? Yes. Am I dead? No. It brought me on a different path. And this is where I love what Christopher Berglund says in the it was in the positive psychology program. If you guys want to learn a little bit more about neuroplasticity and neurogenesis of the brain, I love this. It's his quote. This is what I was trying to find before. One could speculate that this process, meaning neuroplasticity, the adaptation of the brain to its environment, opens up the possibility to reinvent yourself and move away from the status quo or to overcome past traumatic events that evoke anxiety and stress. Hardwired fear-based memories often lead to avoidance behaviors that can hold you back from living your life to the fullest. And you guys, I'm going to put a little injection in here. A lot of how our brains are wired are from programs that have been instilled in us from the day that we were born. And a lot of us paid attention. A lot of us did what we were told out of fear of being spanked, maybe, of being abused, maybe. So we came up with, our brain came up ways to protect us. Now that we're adults, we have a choice. And how many of us are still sitting in the same places, having the same conversations, going to the same job, going to the same institutions, not because we want to, because we're afraid of what happens if we don't. My belief system, if it were what it was 30, 40 years ago, you guys, I would never be able to sit here and honestly say I have found more joy than pain through all of this. It's all a choice. So can you modify your thought pattern? And I'm going to give you guys a few suggestions and challenge you guys. And I'd love to hear from you either on my Facebook, which is Angie Corbett Kuiper. Join the Beyond Grief Facebook group. Ask to join. I'd love to hear from you. But maybe instead of getting up in the morning and, oh, God, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, he's gone. Oh, my God. Instead, show me where you're at. Sounds weird, huh? Because we've been taught as a society that's not normal. Where is he? Well, he's dead. You're talking to the dead. Oh, my God. Who cares? This is about helping yourself. This is about changing the mind to something different. And so through this experience, they have therapy. And you guys, and a lot of people, even there's scientific studies out there that show that a lot of alcoholics and people who have been addicted to drugs for many, many years have been able to overcome their addiction on their own, not having to go to group therapy. It is possible. The second, if you need it, please, yes, go. I have found such significant help in going to therapy, especially the eye movement desensitization reprocessing of EMDR. Because not only am I dealing with, you know, looking at some of the grief and how it's impacted my life, but I'm going even deeper, finding that there are things that were uncovered that explain some of the behaviors, the unwanted behaviors that I have alluded to, and even up to just, I would say, March, April of this year, that I had no idea what that connection was. And then you hear so many people as well, oh, get over it. Why do you have to look back? Because if you're not sure why you're acting like a complete idiot today, or the way you're reacting to a certain experience right now does not warrant the level of either anger or frustration, or this trigger does not warrant the emotion it's emitting, you're damn right. I got to go back and look back, because now I can say, ah, that's what it was. So you guys, just that simple process has started to change the workings of my mind to something different. I also used to keep a journal, and I would keep it by me, and I would reward myself, you guys. So if you find yourself in just significant grief, get up and write it down. I got up this morning. Yay! Start reprogramming your mind. And you may think that that's tiny, you guys. No, that's huge. And write it down. So not only are you doing it, you're writing it down, you're seeing it, you're using your senses, and journal it. And I'm almost completed with a journal that I've come up with. And it's a way, and it's a daily journal where I believe that a way we can start reprocessing our mind and changing certain behaviors is if we simply start doing things that are different than what we did yesterday. Sitting still, you guys, just in nature. Ask your loved one, where are you? How are you? Talk to them. And then find out who you really are without that loved one. We hang on to them like an old slipper, wear them like an old slipper or an old house coat. We're separate from them, you guys. We're different. We've come here for ourselves, for our own journey. We cannot allow their life and their choices to dictate who we are. So talk to your loved ones, ask what you need. And you guys, with that, I've got about 2 minutes. I hope that this program has helped. to get an understanding or help provide an understanding and empower you for those of you that want to move beyond this debilitating, painful part of life, which is called death. And which I say a lot too, no life, no death, no death, no life. It is all combined and it is all the circle of life. And let's appreciate both. You guys, thank you so much for joining me today. I am so honored to have you as my listeners and that you've trusted me with such a huge task. And until next week, you guys, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Grief Radio, redefining loss and grief with Angie Corbett-Kuiper. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that creating anything is possible, even in death. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit AngieCorbettKuiper.com. That's AngieCorbettKuiper.com. See you next time.